You're listening to the Workplace Wellbeing Podcast, discussing the future of employee wellbeing.
Hi, and welcome to the Workplace Wellbeing Podcast. I'm Ian Hogg, Chairman of FastPay, and today I'm very pleased to be joined by Carolyn Illman, who's a behavioural interview question specialist and a hiring coach. Carolyn believes that the hiring process is the key to a happy workplace and helps companies improve how they hire. That makes sense, right? If we recruit people who don't fit in or can't do the role, either they or us are going to go through a more stress than we should do. So I'm looking forward to a discussion about how we can improve wellbeing by getting our hiring processes right. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Whereabouts in the world are you?
I'm in Seattle.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, we're speaking to London today. So we've had quite a few West Coast people on the podcast, so welcome.
That's great.
Listen, I think a good place to start is, you know, why don't you take the listeners, tell them a bit about your background and the sort of work you do.
Sure. So I have over 13 years of experience in program management, and I started at a digital agency, and then most recently I was at Amazon, which is headquartered here in Seattle. And when I was on my maternity leave, I kind of realized that my favorite part of my job wasn't my day-to-day as a program manager. It was actually interviewing people from other teams as a role that's called a bar raiser at Amazon. And even though I really loved working for Amazon, I decided to quit to start my own business, which is called Higher Possibilities, where I coach both job seekers and hiring managers and improve the hiring process.
Okay, cool. What do you think is, you know, what's wrong with the current recruiting process? Why do people need help?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of pain points that companies have with their current recruiting processes. Sometimes it takes too much effort or too much time. I think a lot of times there are misaligned expectations. Sometimes people aren't interviewing properly. It can feel kind of like an interrogation instead of a conversation. Or people are just hiring the wrong person. And it creates a lot of anxiety and stress around both hiring and being hired for the job seekers. So my goal is always to help clients take that stress out and bring the process back to just having a really great conversation.
Yeah, I know from my own experience, if we're always short of people and there's never enough candidates and there's always a pressure to, you know, to just, you know, fill the seat almost. And I mean, is that, you know, what would your advice be there? Is you stay cool and wait for the right person and follow the correct process, I presume?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think desperation is probably the killer of all recruitment processes. I think the more, you know, you're looking for someone and desperate to hire someone, you're more likely to hire someone that's not a good fit for the role.
Yeah. I'd love to hear what the sort of, you know, impact of that is. And, you know, is there any evidence that a poor recruiting process, you know, has an impact both on the company and on the well-being of people in the workplace?
Yes, definitely. So anyone who's made a bad hire or who's been part of a team that's had a bad hire, which includes me, can probably remember how painful the experience was. And according to Harvard Business Review, as much as 80% of all employee turnover stems from bad hiring decisions. And 95% of companies make bad hires. So that's most of us. And when you hire the wrong person, you're not only putting your own time in jeopardy, you're basically going to spend up to 26% of your own time coaching a bad hire after you hire them, but you're also risking losing your greatest employees because of the ripple effect to morale, which isn't a good experience for anyone. It's really painful for those employees, but also painful for the person you're hiring who is the bad hire. And it's also estimated that every bad hire costs companies between $15,000 and $50,000 US dollars.
Yeah, I can believe, you know, I think we're quite good at hiring at my company, and some of my team will be listening to that. So obviously everyone we've got there now is great and we're really pleased we got them. But in the past, we have occasionally made mistakes, and I think $15,000 can be cheap for some bad hires. You know, you end up, you know, they can do a lot of damage, or, you know, they can have a very unhappy experience. You end up paying them a salary when you're not really getting much out of it. And then I agree with your point about other staff who, they're not happy because they feel that there's somebody in the team that either can't or doesn't want to contribute and pull their weight. And I think, you then can lose your best employees as part of it.
Exactly.
So I'd say 15,000 is, you know, is probably the minimum, you know, from my experience.
Yeah, so, definitely. And I think there's also cost in, you know, you're probably trying to fill a gap in your team and you're, you know, adding more work for either other people or yourself. So that time is a lot of money as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do we improve it? So you talked earlier about the role at Amazon, which you called it a bar raiser. I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
Sure. So a bar raiser is an interviewer at Amazon who's brought into the hiring process to be an objective third party. They're basically a steward of the process and the leadership principles. And they're someone who's been tapped as a skilled interviewer who's considered to have really good judgment. So they spend their own time each week to interview candidates for other businesses with Amazon. So they interview people from different teams. And they make sure that the candidate has a really good experience and that the process is fair, that the hiring manager is upholding the right standards and making the right decision for the team and the company. And it's taking a lot of that desperation we talked about out of the equation. And a lot of times people think that sounds kind of scary. I think they, you know, hear about bar raisers or Google bar raisers, and they think that it's going to be the toughest interview on the loop. But in actuality, people would always tell me that they were the most comfortable with me and they had the best experience because of my interview experience. And then also, bar raisers know that it's very important to treat the candidate as a human being and just think of it as a conversation rather than asking a bunch of questions.
So in your role as a bar raiser, you're not just sitting there sort of auditing the process. You're actively taking part, are you, and asking questions?
Yes, that's right. So they're one of the interviews on the loop. And then they also do help be a steward for the rest of the process, working with the team who's doing the hiring.
And, you know, what happens if I'm the desperate manager and I'm keen to get somebody on board and you're the bar raiser and you don't think I'm following the process or you think I'm about to make a mistake? Who has the decision on that? How does that work?
Well, we definitely would have a conversation about your expectations, and I would probably give you a sanity check on the pain that you would have and cause on your team by hiring the wrong person. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the bar raiser drives the conversation towards the decision, but it's really a joint decision between bar raiser and hiring manager. Technically, there is like a veto power that bar raiser has, but if the bar raiser uses that, they're doing it wrong. They need to be able to convince the hiring manager that it's either the right or the wrong decision.
Okay. When you talk to in the introduction, I referred to you as a interview question specialist and a hiring coach. So if we talked about the hiring coach, is that a role similar to a bar raiser?
Yes, it's very similar. I basically on my maternity leave thought, oh, if I could just go back to my job and be a bar raiser full time, that would be great. But that job doesn't exist, so I created it for myself.
Okay, fine. So you go to other companies and you sit in on their interviews and you help them, make the right choice, I suppose.
Exactly. And I also help job seekers.
Okay. Fine. So let's just drill down a bit more on the company. So, does it tend to be just very senior roles, or do people use you for all roles?
They use me for anything from entry level to more senior roles.
Yeah. And then helping the employee, the job seeker, how does that work? What help can you give there?
Yeah, so it really is tailored to what they're looking for. A lot of times I'm working with people who are lacking the confidence and interview skills they need to go through the hiring process. And so a lot of times it ends up being mock interviews, helping, understand what kind of role they're going for and what examples they can provide in interviews to help them with that. And then looking at their resume.
Okay. And so going back to the coaching role and, the interview question specialist. So, I think we've probably all done interviews where we've been given a list of standard questions to ask, and sometimes companies hand them out. And I'd love to hear, hear your thoughts on that. Is that good practice, bad practice? Should all the questions be the same?
That's a great question. I think, you should mix it up from time to time. And especially if you're doing an interview loop with multiple people interviewing the candidate, you should really make sure people aren't asking the same question. I see that mistake happen a lot where you'll give someone a set of 10 questions and say, these are great questions to ask. And then everyone asks the candidate the same question over the course of 4 hours in a day. And it's exhausting, but it's also not getting you the information that you need from the candidate. So I wouldn't advise doing anything like that. I think it's important to mix things up from time to time and to make sure that everyone's kind of looking at a different value that you're trying to get out of the candidate. That would be a good fit for your company.
Oh, fine. That's interesting. So you almost have values-based questions. Is that what you're suggesting there? So I have a list of questions that would establish whether that person is loyal or hardworking or some other value you're looking for.
Yes, I definitely recommend going from that direction and then using behavioral interview questions to get the data from the candidate.
Okay. And so it sounds to me like you are a fan of, you know, documented pre-thought through questions, but mixed up. I'd be, you know, keen to hear, you know, some examples of the sort of questions you ask and, you know, and what you're trying to achieve with each of them, really.
Yeah. So I think that most companies at this point have made the shift to include behavioral interview questions in their interviewing process, which are really important because they're the best way to get real data around past situations a candidate has actually dealt with versus talking about what they would do in a hypothetical situation. So my strategy when I use these questions is always to ask a few that are high level and then really use follow-up questions to dig in and get all of the detail out. So my favorite question is, have you ever received feedback you've disagreed with? And the reasons for that one are, I think everyone has received feedback at some point that they didn't understand or they found triggering in some way. And this question really shows you if a candidate is humble, honest, vulnerable, open to learning and growth. And you would be really surprised by some of the responses I've received from candidates on this one. It tends to bring out a lot of yellow and red flags.
Yeah,
and then another example I had. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so going back to just behavioral, you know, so when you talk about behavioral questions, can you just expand on that and just sort of help define that for the listener? What is a behavioral question?
So a behavioral question is really asking about a specific example or past project or situation that a candidate has had and really getting information around what they did, what the business impact was around it. I like to think of it as kind of digging out the who, what, when, where, and why of a situation. And as I mentioned, it's really helpful because you're really learning what someone actually did and you're basically determining if they're giving you accurate data at the same time versus asking, what would you do in this sort of situation where they're probably going to give you an answer that's just, you know, what they think that you want to hear.
Fine. So the behavioral one nearly always relates back, does it, to some sort of almost a storytelling where they get an opportunity to tell a story about something that's happened to them or how they've behaved in a certain circumstance. Is that a fair description? Okay, cool. And sorry, I cut across you there, Carolyn. You were going to give us another great example, I hope.
No worries. Yes. So another one that I would use is, tell me about a time where you had to sacrifice cost, quality, or timeliness. And that's a really great one because you can dig into the details and the impact to the business and if they would do anything differently looking back on it now. And we've all had to sacrifice one of these things when working on a project. And how the candidate answers will really show you how they align with both you and your company's values. And the reason why for both of these questions I'm not saying the right answer would be X is that it's really not black and white. It's pretty gray and it really depends on what you're looking for your role.
Okay, cool. Well, I'd also be interested to hear what your view is. So as well as the questions in the interview, what about sort of testing process around the hiring process? So we employ a lot of developers at FastPay and, you know, we have a code test I'm sure every tech company has one. I'm sure Amazon's is pretty tough. What about things like psychometric testing and things like that? Are you an advocate of those sort of elements within a hiring process?
I think it can be helpful, but I actually was just talking to my husband about this last night. I think that there's a lot of automation and different types of metrics gathering that we're adding to, especially the beginning part of the interview process. And I think that there's a lot of good behind that. I think it's good to try to reduce the amount of time we're spending on the process, try to reduce bias. I think that's all really important. But I think at the end of the day, you really need a lot of these behavioral interview questions and real human interactions to know if they're going to be a good fit, because, you know, a robot or anyone could answer some of that stuff accurately and not do well in the role. So I think it's helpful to do an addition, of course, and really fully vet out the functional aspects of the job before you bring someone in for the in-person interview.
No, good. Because I tell you what made me think of it. We earlier on one of the previous podcasts, we had a chap called Andy Long on, who works with us, and one of the things he does with us, he does these color tests. So if you're very detailed and, you know, maybe an accountant, you're probably blue. You probably come across these, and you know, I'm red with a bit of yellow, which is sort of you know a little bit creative, but you know, quite sort of results driven. And when you were talking about the sort of question, you know, about whether people would sacrifice quality, I can think of one of the guys that works for us that would never sacrifice quality, and his color is as blue can be. And, you know, he is either right or there's no way through. Whereas other people, the more entrepreneurial colors would sacrifice the quality to get the job done for the customer. And actually, one of the things we believe in is trying to have a mix of the different colors within our company, so that, you know, if they were all blues or all reds, there'd probably be a fight or something. But actually, as you're saying it, you know, as we were discussing it, we don't do that until after we've hired them. So, you know, so when we're asking those questions in the interview process, we're not really aware of what their sort of, you know, sort of what their color type and their sort of behavioral biases. So, you know, how do you sort of filter for that in the interview questions? And have you ever seen anybody who does those sort of tests beforehand so that they can help understand the questions better?
Yeah, I wouldn't advocate probably for using that type of a process for hiring someone, you know, thinking about those personality tests. But I do think it's a great way to work backwards and find those values and how, you know, certain questions might align with those values. I think that as a job seeker, it is really helpful to know things like, you know, like Myers-Briggs or like the colors that you're mentioning, or any of those personality types can really help you tune into what you might need to work on, what your gaps are. That's usually how I use them. I really personally like the Enneagram. I don't know if you've heard much about that one.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain because it's really big and complex, and I think that's why I like it. But it's really down to like core motivations and really at the depth of who you are as a person. And so I've done a lot of thinking around, you know, if you're a different Enneagram type, what kind of interview question might you struggle with or might you do really well at? Or what kind of question might you want to ask the person, your interviewer, at the end of the interview to see if it's the right role for you? So I have a lot of that type of thing on my Instagram because I just geek out on it and find it fun. But I probably wouldn't advocate for, you know, really using it at the beginning of the process from the hiring manager side. But I do think, yeah, it works great to work backwards and just say, okay, we probably do really need someone for this role who cares about quality and doesn't want to let the customer down. What types of questions can we ask to find that person?
Okay. No, I get it. I think that the linking the questions to behavior, I think is a great tip. And I think we'll look at the questions we're asking in our interviews, I'm sure. So if I was an employer, you know, and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, actually, my recruiting process is pretty amateur. Where do you start? If you walked into a company and, you know, they'd asked you for help, and when you turned up, they did have a fairly amateur looking recruiting process, you know, what method or process do you go through to sort of sort it out for them?
Sure. So it really probably depends on the pain point they're feeling the most. If it's a team that is really feeling a lot of pain and is consistently making bad hires and they need a complete top to bottom overhaul, or there isn't a process and you're just kind of winging it and you need to build one from scratch, I would usually lead a process improvement project to help with that using Lean Six Sigma methodology. But sometimes interviewers are just not feeling super confident, or interviews aren't feeling consistent across your team, or you and your team members are having difficulty making a decision about candidates. I'll also lead team interview workshops to focus on fundamentals and make sure everyone's aligned with values and expectations. And then also just get some practice as a team, because I think in order to improve, especially with interviews, you really have to practice. And it's helpful to do that in kind of a low stakes environment and not just practice on the candidates you have coming through. From time to time, I'll also offer a la carte mock interviews. So if people just kind of need a one-off refresher, I'll help them with that. Or I've helped with candidate screening. So if someone's really struggling because they're bringing a lot of people in who just aren't the right fit and they're wasting a lot of time doing in-person interviews, I help with some of the candidate screening process to help show them what I would recommend and give them recommendations for moving forward. And I also sometimes just help them with sanity checking. So you mentioned having like a list of interview questions that you use pretty often. I'll look at people's lists or offer tailored interview questions. So I'll really get to know the role and the company that they're working for. And then I'll give them a list of questions and follow-up questions I would recommend. And then the types of answers I would look for is kind of green, yellow, and red.
Yeah, no. I mean, I suppose that again, that makes sense. If you've got a process that's not working, you go through some sort of workshop to establish a new process or a refined process, mm-hmm. and then get involved in some training. I think the interesting point is, I don't think I'm reasonably old, and I suppose you could say experience. And I don't think I've ever given. I've never been trained or done a mock interview. You sort of expected to pick it up as you went along. And I think once you get promoted to manager, people expect you to do it. Is that just a very British thing, or do you find that in the States, or do you find that, and it's just some companies, give that coaching?
Oh, I think that's prevalent everywhere. I don't think it's just a British thing. I mean, I think it's definitely an issue, especially if there just isn't any time to dedicate to practicing interviews or training people, or you just need to hire quickly. I think a lot of people get thrown into the process. And unfortunately, I think that's when a lot of bad interviewing tends to occur as you're kind of practicing on real candidates.
Okay. And in terms of the sort of support you can give, nowadays with everybody on Zoom, presumably you can offer this support. A lot of interviews are on Zoom. You can offer this internationally or across the whole of the US, or what sort of work do you look for, and how can people engage with you and ask you to come and start helping them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more than willing to work with anyone internationally. And everything, yes, is over Zoom because of the pandemic, which I guess is actually kind of a great thing, a great benefit of the pandemic. So anyone who's interested can follow me on Instagram. That's where I have a lot of kind of fun thoughts. And as I mentioned, I had things like the Enneagram questions on there. I'm HIRE Possibilities on there. And then I also have a website which is under construction at the moment, but it's still functioning just enough, which is HirePossibilitiesSeattle.com. Or you can reach out to me at Carolyn, Carolyn, at HirePossibilitiesSeattle.com is my email address.
Okay. I tell you what, Carolyn, we'll put those links in the program notes as well, so people can go back to their podcast supplier and should be able to find those links. As we bring the interview to the end, there's a question I ask all of our guests. I'd just be interested to hear what book or media is giving you most inspiration at the moment.
Yeah, I love this question. I'm the daughter of a librarian, so I'm always listening to five different books at once on Audible. It's probably not surprising that I'm pretty interested in psychology, since I like behavioral interview questions. So I'm currently working through The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. It's taking a long time because it's not an easy read at all. It's about trauma and how it's stored in the body. And it gets really scientific, but it's really fascinating. So it's...
Okay, well, we will definitely put a link to that in the program notes as well. Listen, thank you, Carolyn. It's been a great conversation, and it's definitely given me lots to think about our recruiting process. And thank you, everybody else, for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.